nerds. You're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Nerdcore podcast, the podcast reviews the movies and talks about nerd shit. This is episode 145, and it is your news of the week. Well, kinda, because you know if anything breaks, we go ahead and report on it. As always, it is me, your Nerd Chicano, here to host the show, alongside my wonderful co-host, who is not Bradley Cooper, but he's Bradley Simmons, young Yoda. Say hi to everybody.
Sup, everybody. Welcome to the show. Yeah. Number 145, can you believe it, Ro?
Cannot believe it. Currently watching the Golden Globes and recording at the same time. Talk about multitasking.
Oh, this will be fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now you just watched the award that I cared about. Guaron just took the director, and right now they're passing the montage of a Star is Born, which they need to tell me when that movie comes out in Blu-ray, because I really need to buy that.
Probably won't be for a bit. It just got out of theaters.
That's what I'm thinking, too, but I know that, what's it called, Bohemian Rhapsody is almost coming out, and that was already...
And Bad Times at El Royale is already out.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick that up one of these days, too.
I think I'm going to buy that on Blu-ray. Amazon or something.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get on Blu-ray.
I really don't buy DVDs anymore, just because I don't have the living space.
Yeah,
I don't need more shit.
I don't have the living space either, but I don't care. I just buy them. All right.
This would be good for decoration later.
Later, yeah. So I hope everybody's having a good day. Where, as always, we start off with some breaking news, and it was the big piece that just happened to drop last week, so we're going to go ahead and talk about it today. Big success for Aquaman, so we were bound to get something, some sort of news regarding the world of the DCEU. Worlds of DC, DCEU, I don't know what it's called anymore. But
DCEU?
According to the Hollywood Reporter, it was reported that the Batman will be going into production in November this year. So here's a little snippet from Collider, because I cannot find the original Hollywood Reporter article, which could just give off the amount of trust that you should be giving this article. But here it says, for THR, Reeves' script is all but finished. Though the filmmaker will continue to tweak it in with the studio eyeing on an end-of-year start for filming, it's not much to go on, and previous reports suggested a summer start. But it's yet another stop on the long road to seeing the Batman. And if the studio really is gearing up to finally shoot the damn thing, then we might finally get some concrete details, including this long-awaited news on who will pick up the cape and cowl in the coming months. And as for... okay. So it looks here, the Hollywood Reporter's rundown on The Mystery of 2019 comes with a brief update. Warner Bros. And DC are eyeing a November start for filming. So, remember, as we reported on, like, a while ago, Brad, I want to say, like, mid-last year, that Reeves said that it was not going to be year one, that he's talked to Affleck, but other than that, that's all he can say. So, look, my heart wants to believe this so bad, but like I've said with everything about this movie, I will not believe a single thing until I hear it straight from the horse's mouth, from Reeves himself, whether that be a tweet or him coming out to talk about it. What's your take?
I just want a Frank Miller, The Dark Knight Returns. But Matt Reeves brings that with Ben Affleck, I'll be happy. I can die happy then from the Batman series.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's so hard because I mean, everybody wants to see this movie. Everybody wanted to see it when Ben Affleck redirected it, and then he dropped out. And then Matt Reeves came in, and everybody was super excited. And that's when I said, I'll be patient for as long as I need, because he really did a wonder with those two Apes films. And he did a pretty good job directing Cloverfield Lane, even though it makes us dizzy. But
No shaky cam, hopefully.
Oh, God, no shaky cam, please.
Yeah, I mean, I know Matt Reeves can do a great job. He's proven it before. There's no question of that. Would I like him to have more information on this? For sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a while. I don't think we're going to know the exact story that it's going to tell, especially with Joker coming out.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to stay out of each other's way for now. But I really do hope it's the Frank Miller adaptation, because I'm about 100% sure it's not going to be the Hush adaptation. So at least at least I can get something I want.
Yeah. I have a feeling that it's going to be, because the way that Aquaman was, that it's just its own story. There's no connections to the DCEU. I feel like he could do a Frank Miller adaptation, but I feel like he's going to do the Nolan thing where he pulled from several comics to create his own story.
I really, and I'd be okay with the older Batman story, the older angry Batman. Yeah. I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
But if he goes to the younger Batman, I don't know what stories we'll pull from that Nolan has already done.
Yeah, but he already confirmed it would not be younger because he's not doing year one.
So, yeah, I'm hoping, really hoping that Ben Affleck's Batman movie.
Yeah, I would hope, and the way he said it, that, you know, that he wants to concentrate on the, like, the detective noir part of Batman that doesn't get really mentioned a lot in the movies, where it really, really concentrates on why he is the world's greatest detective.
That'd be different. Be different from what we've seen before.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, guys, like I always said, take a lot of these news with a grain of salt, because the world changes so much inside the film world. But if this is, but if it's really gonna start in 2019 November, then I'm a really happy camper. But in the meantime, I think we just need to wait until somebody at least confirms it, whether that be Affleck or Reeves. I will only take the answer from either of those two. And then again, I mean, if you guys do want to trust the Hollywood Reporter, I mean, they have a really good track record with not, with giving actual right, correct information. So that's another reason why I would trust a little bit, but it really, with me, it has to come from the horse's mouth.
But we do have an indication that something's in the works.
Something has to be in the works. Because the last time they talked about this, I know they said that he was finishing up the script, that it was due any day now. Yeah. So, yeah. I know Eric is singing in the background. I know. But
sorry.
That's the breaking news, guys. I know. I freaking hate it when he just, like, I wish I could just record in silence.
We need you a little quiet room.
Yeah. That doesn't exist in this household. So let's go ahead and go to the box office report. It's always so much fun here. I definitely did not expect for this to be the box office. For this is domestic, by the way. If y'all were wondering about international, Bumblebee was number one. It debuted in China really high and beat out Aquaman. But the domestic, it's really weird, bro.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and overseas market, I can see Bumblebee doing great. It's just, I think America's just like, we're just done with Transformers for now. Come back to us in 10 years.
I was surprised that it hadn't debuted in China so late. I was like, why?
They were probably waiting for Aquaman to get done.
Yeah.
Probably smart on that one.
Yeah, well, we'll see next week, man. That's kind of the stuff that's important. We'll see how much it takes with its drop. But here, look, the bottom five, what really stands out to me here is the fact that that Vice, well, not Vice, I'm sorry, that The Mule is still, who's watching this, man? Who is going back to watch, which grandpa is watching The Mule that is enough to make it $9,040,000?
Bruh, just all the old, you know, lovers of cowboy movies and stuff. That's just what that is.
Because you look at the other ones that are on the bottom of it. Vice, Second Act, Ralph Breaks the Internet, Holmes and Watson. Okay, Holmes and Watson, you know, I've been hearing really bad things about that. Okay?
I'm just surprised it's at 10. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably a more funny that it's funnier than the actual movie, but
yeah, probably.
But out of all those, at least taking out Holmes and Watson, you have one, two, three other picks that could be making more money than Clint Eastwood in a cowboy movie. Like, how?
Well, I just throw out there, because people rather see a drug story than a story about Dick Cheney, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, either way, I wish people would go watch Vice, because Adam McKay is a really talented director, and I mean, he's directed.
Well, he did win an award.
Yeah, he's directed.
Well, someone won an award for Vice.
Yeah.
Bale
won. Yeah, yeah. You didn't go up there and yell. Yeah, McKay's a really talented director. I mean, he directed my favorite comedy, Talladega Nights. And, you know, he did a great job with The Big Short. But why, how does this movie not make more than The Mule? Like, I just don't get
it. This episode brought to you by Big Red.
Big Red. If you ain't chewing Big Red, then fuck you. Hey, I'm Rick and Bobby. We ain't chewing Big Red, the buggy.
I can't wait to review that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, baby Jesus.
Yeah. What stands out to you on the bottom five?
Definitely Holmes and Watson just sitting there at 10, staring me in the face. Because they were 7 last week, and then the reviews started pouring in of, like, this is the worst movie, 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it just stared at me in the face at 10. I'm just like, you know, there's some smartasses out there that just went to see how terrible it was, which is something I would do. And unfortunately, it didn't get the same praise as Venom.
Oh. Dude, I, like... Oh, baby. Box office is weird these times around. Let's go ahead and go to the top five. Oh, man. So, at number five, we have Bumblebee with $12,775,000. And number four, still holding up, is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse on $13,010,000. Number three is Mary Poppins Returns with $15,773,000. Number two... is Escape Room with 18 million? Wow.
I don't know, bro.
Oh, Chief.
I don't know.
This one's weird.
It's like The Meg all over again.
Yeah. Who would have thought that I guess that people were kind of sick of going to watch the same movies for the past 3 weeks. They're like, something new, might as well go watch it.
That's my take. Like, enough superhero movies and Christmas flicks. Let's go see a horror film.
Yeah. Number one, Aquaman with $30,700,000, making its total gross right now at $940 million. It's the highest grossing DCEU movie. It is also one of the highest grossing DC movies when it beat The Dark Knight Rises. It's climbing up, bro. And I mean, like I said on Twitter, whether you like it or not, this is what good marketing looks like, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is what Solo needed.
Like you tweeted, what do you think would have happened if Solo had this kind of market?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Solo probably would have made the same. Because let's face it, I love Solo.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see Solo in theater. Yeah, if they had rightly marketed in
And you're cutting out really
That's too. It never got marketed anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. You're cutting out really bad.
If you didn't have shit.
Yeah. I mean, I like I told you, they released their first trailer literally like 3 months before it was coming out. Start their marketing campaign around the same time. Like, it just doesn't work out like that, man.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
So, I think Bumblebee had the same issue, at least in the States. I wonder what the marketing were out there. Hey, giant robots.
Boom. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thrug. Boom.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
Boom. Michael Bay.
Boom, boom. Yeah. I'm going to check what is coming out next week. Well, I mean, this weekend, actually. So, yeah. I mean, for sure it's going to hit the what's it called? It's going to hit the $1 billion next week for sure, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah. Here, I'm gonna look that up. Yeah, I thought they just presented the award for best picture because I saw a bunch of white dudes getting so happy. I'm like, damn it, A Star Is Born won instead of Black Panther or Black Klansman, but it's actually the assassination of Gianni Versace. I was like, damn it, did A Star Is Born win over Black Klansman? Here, like
the assassination of Gianni Versace.
Yeah, which it's one of those American.
Did anybody see that?
Apparently, it was really good. Did you ever watch The People vs. O.J. Simpson?
No.
All right. What's this? What's this weekend? It's the. I want to say. Let me see. It's the weekend of the 11th. So we have A Dog's Way Home, Replicas, and The Upside. I think The Upside is going to be the one that makes a lot of money, actually.
I saw A Dog's Way Home book in Target today? I just saw it in, like, with all the other movie books. Yeah. I didn't know that was being made in a movie.
They passed the trailer during Spider-Verse and completely ruined the whole plot. Like, they literally gave us the movie in a whole trailer.
Ooh. Yeah. Is it like Homeward Bound?
Again? Yeah. So I think that The Upside actually knocks out Escape Room. I think it'll make like around that type, like 20 mil at least. It's Kevin Hart, you know, it's going to make something. 20 mil. I think that Aquaman drops down to at least, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think that Aquaman drops down to 18 million. And Upside is number one next week this weekend with 20 million. And other than that, I think it stays the same with Bumblebee being kicked off and it stays like that. So it would go Upside, Aquaman, Escape Room, Mary Poppins, Spider-Man.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, Holmes and Watson is out of here next week.
I might say that Dogs One might bump one of these out just because kids.
Yeah, true. I don't know how A Dog's Purpose did, though.
No, A Dog's Purpose is a different movie, though.
Really? I thought it was the same thing.
No, Dog's Purpose came out like a year ago.
Yeah, well, isn't it like the same type of movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen the trailer for the other one.
I don't watch Dog's movies.
A Dog's Journey just sounds like Homeward Bound to me.
Dog's Way Home, bro. Okay, look, Dog's Purpose.
Dog's Way Home, whatever.
They have the opening weekend for that. 18 million, A Dog's Purpose.
You got to remember, though, there was a lot of backlash on Dog's Purpose because people thought they were mistreating the animals.
Yeah.
Because that came out like a week before.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, on there's a genre for controversy, and it's number 18 in that genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it literally came out like a week before that movie dropped, and it just killed, I think, any traction that movie was getting. Because it was getting used to see videos of them, like, throwing the dog into the rushing water.
Yeah. It had a production budget for $22 million, and it made $205 million.
Yeah, that did it.
What do the foreign markets love about dogs? It made 140 worldwide foreign. What the hell?
I don't even want to touch that. If we can move on.
God. Okay. Yeah. I would think that the U.S.
That's quite a bit. 200 for foreign. Because I know a lot of controversy happened on the U.S. side. But I don't know. I mean, I think Homeward Bound back in the early 90s did the same thing. It's just something about animals and connections. And they have that animated dog one that's going to come out that I bet you is going to make probably over 50 million easy.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Heads too. That's what it is.
What do you think what do you think the top five is going to look like next week?
Aquaman. I'm with you. Aquaman drops two. That Kevin Hart one. Actually, I'm going to go out on a limb because I think the kids are going to show up for that dog one.
Really?
Just because that's what parents do. The Aquaman drops three.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it. I think it's very close to two. But I think it drops to three, with the dog one at two and then the Kevin Hart one at one.
Well, if you watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, you already watched the dog movie. Because it was literally the trailer that gave away the whole thing. Dog makes it back home.
Parents with kids don't care. They just want to bring their kids to some place and they'll be quiet and watch the movie.
Yeah. Damone just messaged me. Christian Bale is the GOAT. I don't know about that one, Chief. He's really good at yelling at people.
I gotta say Mifune is the GOAT, but Mifune's dead, so
yeah.
You know, this is my opinion.
Yeah. So that's the box office. We're gonna go ahead and move on. Take this next piece of news with a big grain of salt because I've never seen this website before. I've never heard any news from this website before, but apparently, according to StarWarsNewsNet.com, Disney Plus is not going to be developing movies. Well, Lucasfilm is not developing movies for Disney Plus. Yeah. Let me go ahead and read this for y'all. Since the announcement of Lucasfilm was developing content for Disney Plus, fans have wondered if this means that we might be getting a mid-budget direct streaming movies in the mix of annual Star Wars content that the company produces. For now, it appears as though Lucasfilm will not be making movies for Disney streaming service, but focus on developing exclusive television content for the service. In an interview with Barron's, Disney CEO Bob Iger explained that while Disney plans to develop multiple movies per year that can be watched exclusively on Disney Plus, Star Wars is not immediately a part of their direct-to-streaming movie plans due to concerns about expenses. Our studio makes between 8 and 10 movies a year, and they're big budget. Hopefully the box office films that really belong, we believe, on the big screen, we're not looking to take one of those and put it on this platform. When we made the announcement, we said we're going to make the original movies of the platform. A number of ideas were pitched, other than one which was being contemplated for the big screen, but wasn't a big movie. None of them were in development as big screen movies. One of them that we're making for the platform is a remake of Lady and the Tramp. There was not one discussion about whether we should make that for the big screen. Everybody said this is a great story. This is a great story. Would love to make it again. Let's make it for what we call the service internally. All right. Almost every movie the studio makes is a 100 million plus movie. And we're not looking to make movies at the level for the service. We're looking to invest significantly in television series on a per episode a higher budget, but nothing like that. Per episode business, and we're looking to make movies that are higher budget, but nothing like that. We wouldn't make a Star Wars movie for the platform. When everybody goes out on the weekend, you have a movie that opens to 200 million. There's a buzz that creates that enhances value. We like that. And eventually the movies we're making are going to end up on the service. Yeah. That sounds pretty smart. What do you think?
Yeah, that doesn't sound... I mean, that's pretty much sounds exactly what looks like they're doing.
Yeah.
To be honest. It doesn't look like they're making any movies
Yeah.
of Star Wars for the Disney Plus service. They're making movies to release them in theaters and then possibly bring them on the Disney Plus service, but not just for the Disney Plus service alone like Netflix would do. So that doesn't surprise me. I think they're going to keep to their strategy, release movies. They might go back to the two movies a year or a movie every year. After a while, if they think, you know, like the fanboys have had enough pain and torture. But other than that, I think they're just keeping the idea that they had originally is, you know, put the multiple episode series on Disney Plus and put the movies out in theaters.
Yeah, yeah. Just want to cut you off for a little bit. Billy Eichner just tweeted, new Oscar host idea at Snoop Dogg.
I'd watch that. Oh, I would watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, but going back to the topic.
But they gotta have holographic Tupac in there too.
Yeah, and just have them perform Gin and Juice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Gin and Juice.
Yeah. Back. What's it called? I agree with what you're saying. These movies take too much money to make for a platform like Disney Plus. I think it's way too experimental to do that. I think that we've seen it with what happened with Bright on Netflix. It was not a very watched film, and it cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whether you guys enjoy it or not.
That's the thing though is they have to get these subscribers in. So their plan now, because they're just starting the service, I think it's going to do well with what they have planned. I think they're even getting my money probably.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, they have it
I think it's
Cassie's Andor show and The Mandalorian with
Pedro Pascal. So I think they just want to make sure and they're going to get as many subscribers as they think they're get before they go on and plan a whole like movie for the Disney Plus service.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be a Star Wars movie. I don't even think it's going to be a Marvel movie. But if they do release a movie, it'll probably be an animated movie of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's my take on
it. It makes so much sense for you to make shows like The Cassius Andor, Mandalorian, these little realms that we can explore for seasons on end instead of having to make a 2-hour film and only explore so little. Leave the films for this Skywalker saga, whatever we're planning with the David Benioff and D.B. Weiss trilogy and Rian Johnson's trilogy. Leave those big sagas, but here where we can explore these outer rims of the galaxy and stuff like that, it works better as a television series on this platform.
Oh yeah. I mean, but if they want to go back and do a movie a year, I think they may decide to do that if they think the money's there. But right now, I think they're just like, we'll just put these episodes out and then do a movie every 2 years.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
What's it called? And I don't think that's bad of Lucasfilm. I think that it's a very smart idea, dude. That's probably one of the smartest ideas they've had in a long time, you know, to do this like this. And they have I want to watch Mandalorian and I want to watch Cassie's Andor. I think that so many seasons we can concentrate on these characters. And
plus, you're only focusing on the live action. You're not even focused about the animated that's coming out for these guys. Like, I think there's a Clone Wars coming of some sort in that realm. So they're probably going to have multiple animated on this too for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. This next piece of news is... I'm sorry, hold up. Sorry, you know, I'm trying to multitask here, and it's not going too well. They got Whataburger on this commercial. You know, this just makes you hungry. The next piece of news is pretty interesting, especially for Brad, who did not watch Welcome to the Jungle. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. This is actually making me interested to watch
the movie. Wait. That was the first one with The Rock, right?
Yes, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is a sequel to Jumanji.
I did watch that.
Oh, you did?
I did watch that.
The one with Kevin Hart and
Yeah, it was hilarious. Jack Black was fucking hilarious in that movie.
Damn, I thought you said you didn't watch it.
No,
so,
I watched it.
Well, here's some news for you, Brad, because I'm probably going to watch it now. Following the news that Awkwafina is joining the returning ensemble, Sony Pictures has now tapped Danny DeVito to join the cast of its sequel to its hit, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. DeVito will join returning cast members Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, and Karen Gillan. With Jake Kasdan coming back as director. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle was a smash hit, hauling $962 million worldwide. It followed a group of four teenagers transported into the world Jumanji, where they turn into their adult avatars. The setting is now a video game instead of a board game, in which the book and original 1995 film starring Warren Williams were focused. The plot and Danny DeVito's character details are being kept under wraps. The magic of Jumanji is who becomes who. Alright, whatever. This is really, I mean, I'm always down for Danny DeVito, bro. I don't know about you.
Indeed. My question is this going to be like a playable character like in the original Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle? Is he going to be like he's... Did you watch the first one?
The first one? I do not like the first one.
The Welcome to the Jungle?
No, when I'm thinking about the first one... When I'm thinking about the first one...
See, this is where we differ, is I don't even consider Welcome to the Jungle in the series of Jumanji just because it's like 30 years after fact.
It's,
so when I say the first one, I mean in The Rock in this series.
In the lore... Because
they're going to make this into a three movie.
In the lore...
Yes, I know. I know it all connected, but still.
To be the
30 years after.
All right, well, whatever. I mean, we had The Force Awakens... How many years after the Return of the Jedi? And it's the lore?
Yeah, they call it episode blah, blah, blah.
Whatever, bro. Okay. So, yeah, I haven't watched Welcome to the Jungle. I don't even know where to watch it. But I do want to watch it now because I love Danny DeVito and I love Awkwafina.
Well, Welcome to the Jungle, basically what ends up happening is the players get transported and they become these characters in Welcome to the Jungle is a video game.
Yeah.
So, you know, little white kid gets brought in and he's playing The Rock.
Yeah.
Skinny white dude. And then you have the Valley Girl gets transported and that's Jack Black's character. So Jack Black has the personality of Valley Girl throughout the whole thing, which is freaking hilarious because he plays it perfect. And yeah. And then you have the big giant jock and he gets turned into Kevin Hart.
Who's the one who gets turned into Karen Gillan?
It was the other girl in it. Wasn't the Valley Girl, so it was the other kind of regular, because she wasn't like emo girl or anything. Yeah. She was just regular.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just your normal type of chick. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I want to watch the movie for sure now because I want to be caught up with what they're going to make in the sequel. That should be coming out in 2020. But, I mean, how much more do you want? You have Danny DeVito, bro.
Well, this is my question, though. Is Danny DeVito going to be like the playable character in it? Or do I get to see Jack Black playing Danny DeVito? Which I think would be pretty funny.
That'd be really funny, dude. You know what else is pretty fun? The fact that this next piece of news is actually gets me pretty excited. Once again, I've never heard about this website, nor am I going to believe it. But if this were to happen, I would be very excited. An RTF exclusive from Revenge of the Fans. DC is making a two-part animated film out of Batman The Long Halloween. This is really small font here. When it comes to Batman, there's no shortage of great and iconic stories in his catalog, with a history that spans nearly 8 decades, which you can read about here. Everyone surely has their favorite book about Gotham's Dark Knight. Mine happens to be a Batman The Long Halloween. That's why I'm Discovery I made yesterday while doing some digging for you led me to tweet simply this. Okay, it's a Jim Carrey GIF. Well, a bunch of you wanted to know what that was all about, and so I'm glad to now share with you that I was freaking out over the fact that DC Entertainment is working on an animated film based on Batman The Long Halloween. It's supposed to be a two-parter, and I've got a good chunk of the cast. Let's unpack that for a second. In the eyes of many, Batman The Long Halloween is the Holy Grail, a massive, important touchstone for the Bat mythology. Okay, man. Where is the source on here? Uh, um, think about the voice cast. All right, man. Yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and skip this now. There's no source in here. It's just saying that he found it. If this were to happen, I would love it because Batman The Long Halloween is my favorite Batman story. Right after Dark Knight, the Dark Knight Returns. But if they were making this, wouldn't they have announced it when they announced about Batman Hush?
Not necessarily if they didn't have all the voice actors down.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never heard about this site, man. And this is the only time I heard about this on Screen Rant. And even though I would have seen a lot more reports from different, like, discussing film, Collider, talk about this, but none of them have made an article about this. It's, So, I don't know about this one, Chief.
I guess it's a wait and see.
Yeah.
I am excited for the Batman Hush.
Oh, yeah, of course. Would you enjoy Batman The Long Halloween animated movie?
Yeah. It's one of the better stories written in Batman, and yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So the next piece of news is interesting, to say the least, you know? Because, I mean, we both love this movie. It is probably one of our favorite of 2018. And, excuse me. It's kind of interesting to see the buzz around the sequel. And especially now with what I'm about to talk about. It looks like John Krasinski is teasing the fact that he's not going to direct A Quiet Place 2. Brad, before I actually read that, I'm actually just looking for where he says this specifically. This is something that could really hinder the fact that I think that this might not work if he's not there to direct it, Brad.
Well, it's dependent. Yeah. I think me and you can safely say we love Krasinski's vision in this.
Yeah.
And we would love to see him direct again. Mm-hmm. Is it a death knell in the coffin if he doesn't direct again? Not necessarily, dependent who they get to replace him. If they get to replace him, a veteran director who we know and love and have seen before, you know, it could work very well. Yeah. But if they pull some dude off who hasn't directed a thing in his life, yeah, I probably won't watch it.
Yeah. You're right. Look, this is what they asked him. You're writing a sequel to A Quiet Place. Does it worry you that the film was such a big hit that Paramount may treat the film like the Purge franchise, crashing out new installments on a yearly basis? Totally. I can't stop them from doing that. Of course you can't. I'm a realist. I know how the studio operates. At first, I wanted nothing to do with the sequel. I told my wife, it can never be good again, to be this good again. And she said, of course it won't. Take the movie, put it on a mantle so you can look at it anytime you want, and then go out and do something else. Paramount was asking a bunch of writers and directors what they might do with it. And to their credit, they didn't take any of those pitches because they felt more franchisey. Meanwhile, it is so hard to read with this freaking pop filter in the way, man. Felt a little more franchisey. Meanwhile, I had this tiny idea that fit the world and could be exciting. Paramount asked if I would write it, and I'm doing that now. But I'm still thinking about what I want to do next. If I can crack the idea, I would love to direct it again. And if I can't, I would love to give it to someone else with my fingerprints on it to make sure it's being taken care of. I know that anyone reading this will be like, yeah, right, our guy. But I do have sort of a parental feeling about this movie. And I don't want A Quiet Place to turn into an action movie where 400 people have machine guns. Or did I give away the ending to the sequel? Look, I think his heart is in the right place for sure. He doesn't want to give it off to a director that he doesn't trust will make would do it enough service and justice as he wants. But I feel if that's what he wants, then he should direct it. Brad?
Yeah, and yeah. I think, yeah, what it comes down to is if he has enough time or if he truly wants to direct it. I mean, he's writing the whole thing, so you would think he would want to, but I think people's hearts change, and he may just want to be a writer on it.
Yeah. It's such a difficult subject to touch on, because to me, and what I believe, and it's my opinion only, guys, and I mean, I am entitled to that, is that directors should write their own work. They shouldn't be the only ones writing it, but they should be part of the writing process. You know? So that's why I would say that he should direct it if he's writing it.
I definitely think the directors need to have read or gone through and made edits to it and gone back and been a part of it, just to be a part of the whole film process itself. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not, then, you know, you can actually feel that in a movie is when a director doesn't meet with his work.
Yeah. And so it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because, I mean, this is planned for 2020. I believe 2020 to be released in May. So anytime now, that script should be done and going into production later this year. But it's just, it's going to be interesting. I really want her to be the one to direct it. You know, I want him to be the one to direct it. And, but if it's not, and they get a really good director that he can consult with to make sure that he's doing it, that they're doing enough work to meet the vision that he had planned for it, then I agree with that too. And ultimately, it comes down to what Krasinski wants, because it is 100% his baby.
Quiet Place 2, directed by James Wan. You heard it here first.
Oh, that would be really interesting. I mean, that's some horror.
He knows his monsters.
Yeah, he knows his monsters. That's some horror. What's the word I'm trying to say? Experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go ahead and go to the next piece of news. And by the way, that was from the New York Times. They did a whole piece with him. They talked to him and all that. Next piece of news from Collider is that I talked about it in the beginning about Bohemian Rhapsody. So it's just like a little nice little update. Bohemian Rhapsody, the Blu-ray is going to include the full Live Aid performance that was not shown in theaters. So like the uncut performances of it. It has, I believe, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. And another song. Let me check here. I know that it was Crazy Little Thing Called Love. And it doesn't want to say here. No. It does come out in January 22nd, though. For 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and DVD February 12th. Obviously, you won't get the Live Aid performance on DVD. Not enough room to put all those special features in there. But, look, here. Somebody to Love. Crazy Little Thing Called Love and Somebody to Love. I think so. That's what it says here. But I could be wrong, guys. But, has the complete Live Aid performance. Rami Malek on Becoming Freddie Mercury. The look and sound of Queen in recreating Live Aid. And that's it. Oh, no, look. Bohemian Rhapsody, the DVD features, will have the full Live Aid performance. That's the only thing that it'll have. And then the 4K will have pretty much everything else. Screen format. Okay. Well, these are all the specifications for, like, audio and stuff like that. But it will be coming out on... It'll be coming out on February 12th, 2019 for street date for the Blu-ray. So... Not too long to wait for this movie, man. I'm gonna buy it because I really liked it. Don't know how hard how I feel about supporting Bryan Singer and giving him my money, but it was a really good movie, and I want to see the full Live Aid performance. I know you really don't have much of an opinion on this, Brad. I mean, you haven't watched the film, but that Live Aid performance is pretty. Legendary, to say the least. Do you agree?
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that as an update, kind of like this next piece of news. This update is going to be pretty... of course, this guy would not survive the snap since his show just got canceled, but apparently Luke Cage did not survive the snap. I guess it's just a little fun question to put there, but they asked him if he would be in an endgame, but he goes, looking at the way things are, looks like I didn't survive the snap. So that's a little funny.
That's the no.
Yeah. Looks like our good friend
Jessica Jones and the Punisher might have a chance.
But looks like Iron Fist and Daredevil did not survive either.
Nope.
Oh, that's funny.
All gone.
Yeah, that was confirmed by Mike Coulter, but that's pretty funny. They asked him, like, am I in Avengers? And they told him, am I in Avengers Endgame? Colt started out, well, you know what? Based off what happened, I'm already dead. The snap has already happened with Luke Cage. We're dead. We're already gone. I hate to break it down. Break people's, but no, we're not. Who asks him if he's in Endgame? Come on, guys. A man's show just got canceled. Oh, man. The last piece of news from TVLine.com, this is a big piece of news, is that the Batwoman just got a pilot ordered, and they have David Nutter to direct it. Ruby Rose will be playing Batwoman. Apparently, it got some big buzz from the crossover that they did. I have not watched it because, well, I don't have the CW. And I don't watch much cable TV, but when it gets on Netflix, I will watch it. I'm just happy to see that we might have a Bat People TV show other than Gotham. It's slated for a potential fall 2019 premiere. Batwoman would follow Kate Kane, the second incarnation of the Batwoman character in DC Comics lore, introduced in 2006, who's described as an out lesbian and highly trained street fighter who is primed to snuff out the failing city's criminal resurgence. Carol Dries, the Vampire Diaries, penned the pilot and will executive produce alongside Greg Berlanti, Sarah Schechter, and Jeff Johns. Anybody want to clip that? I can go ahead and clip that. Other characters reportedly being cast for the prospective series include Kate's father, Colonel Kane, Batwoman's Victoria-era styled archenemy, Alice, and one that sounds like Renee Montoya. Renee Montoya is going to be appearing in Birds of Prey. Not this version, of course. The one will be in the CW show, but the DCEU version of Renee Montoya. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited for this. I mean, I don't know how this is. I haven't watched an episode of this, so I'm going to go in with it with open eyes. I mean, with open hearts to hope it's going to be good. But it's not like Flash or Arrow where I've just completely...
Raul, you haven't watched an episode of it because they just ordered the pilot.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I'm going to go with it with no expectations because I have not watched a single season because it doesn't exist.
How else were you supposed to watch an episode?
Yeah. I'm just saying that it's not like Flash season 4 where I thought that season 3 was just terrible, that I did not return to watch 4 or 5. And it's just like Arrow where I thought season 4 was
okay.
Just...
So what you're saying is you're going in with clear eyes even based on the other CW shit that has befallen it.
Yeah, the CW has failed me with its shows, but with this one I'm going with open arms. Because, one, I love Bat People. I love Batman, Batwoman, Batgirl, Bat Nightwing, Rat Robin, Red Robin, Red Hood, and
Red Rum.
But so I'm gonna go into this and hopefully have some fun with it. I don't have any opinions on Black Lightning because I have not watched it, and I'm going to get to that soon. I promise I'm going to get to that soon. But with this one, I'm just hoping for the best. And I hope it does well, and I hope that Ruby Rose is a great Batwoman. And I can't wait to watch the crossover to see that. But in the meantime, I'm glad that it got a pilot ordered.
Yeah, I mean, Ruby Rose definitely looked good in the recent photos released. So Yeah, hopefully it does well.
Yeah, yeah. So, that being said, that is the end of the news. No trailers is discussed today, but I'm pretty sure we went way over the time limit today. So, thank you, Alice, for listening. Thank you all for listening. I hope you all have been having an amazing day. Go ahead and leave a rate review on the podcast app of choice. 5-star the feed, because you know you want to. Go ahead and leave a follow and tweet us at @TheNerdCore_ on Twitter and Instagram at @TheNerdCore. Facebook page, The Nerdcore Pods. And go ahead and follow Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram, Wardlord Hitman 98 on Twitter. If you want to get a shout out just like that, you know where to go. www.patreon.com/nerdcore and pledge to the $15 tier. You get a shout out like the one I just gave y'all, and pins and stickers as they're made, and a postcard every month from us here at the team. Hope you all are having a wonderful time. I hope you enjoyed the Golden Globes. We are not doing a recap show for that, but I hope you all enjoyed it. But in the meantime, this has been the Nerd Chicano. I'm signing off. And I'm definitely going to go ahead and angle this better where I can read articles for, and not have my point of view being blocked by a pop filter. So I'm signing off. See y'all in the next one. Brett, send me to the podcast void.
All right, Raul. Thank you for being host as always. Thank you to all our listeners, all our guests, all our co-hosts. Truly appreciated what you have done for us in this year already starting. And yeah. I guess in the next episode, we put a smile on that face. Young Yoda out.